Nuri al-Maliki says that he's going to stay on as the Iraqi prime minister. He agrees to do that as the political deadlock comes to an end. Meantime, closer to home in our own backyard, the CIA facing another look over some videotapes that were destroyed. What's that all about? Speaking of being destroyed, Joe Miller does not like what's happening in Alaska. Alaska's write-ins are holding up for Lisa Murkowski in the early count. So will he be the senator or will she be the senator that represents Sarah Palin's home state? It's looking more and more like it's Murkowski. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. You can throw your two cents in, no matter what your stripes are, left, right, or somewhere in between. Here's the number to jingle. I'm going to give it to you right at the top. Keep it handy, because coming up in another 10 minutes or so, real treat, Harry Rinker, the guru of all things collectible, will join us on the air. So if you are curious about anything that you have, you want to kind of find out what it's worth, maybe that old beer collection, maybe the salt and pepper shakers that your mother left you that are sitting in a box somewhere. I don't know. Maybe you have some Civil War pistols. You know, some of those guns are worth a lot of money, and people don't even realize they have it. It's like the furniture. Furniture's weird. It's when you go antiquing, you know, that antique roadshow thing, you watch it, not because it was great TV, but because you wanted to see if anyone found anything good. If they came in and their face lit up because they couldn't believe what their item was worth. So call that number in another 10 minutes and you actually have a chance to talk with Harry, 800-259-5791. All right, let's jump right into the middle of this thing at the top, because I'm going to be in the Gulfport region, Biloxi, Mississippi, next week. And we talked about this a little bit. You know, more is coming out about the investigations into the oil spill that held us captivated since April and all the way through the summer. Well, key British Petroleum spill evidence at risk big time, according to the people who own the rig. That's what they're saying. Transocean says blowout preventer has been sitting outside unexamined for 2 months. It's just stacked up there, just hanging out from the, it's part of the evidence from the Deepwater Horizon explosion and oil spill. And the doomed rig is in danger of corroding, and it is a valuable piece of evidence, a key piece of evidence, and it might be compromised. That's what the people who own the rig are saying, and they sent a letter to federal investigators to tell them they might want to think about what to do with that chunk of junk that killed 11 people in some indirect way and also killed ocean life in Mississippi and in Louisiana and in Florida and in Alabama. So a Transocean lawyer is saying the forensic testing hasn't even begun on the preventer, even though it's been sitting at a NASA facility in New Orleans for 2 months, because that's where it is. The testing place says they're not ready. So some of the critical preservation steps haven't been completed. How are they going to be able to tell if you've got, it's out there in the elements, the corrosion, it's deteriorating, just another bungle, just another blunder when it comes to figuring out what happened, who's responsible, what's really going on in the water, what's happening now with this blowout preventer. And look, investigators agreed to flush the control pods with fluid back at the end of September to prevent corrosion, but they haven't done anything else to preserve the blowout preventer since then. I'd say that's a little bit of a problem. It's like evidence that gets lost, key evidence that gets lost in a police locker. When that happens, sometimes it costs a prosecutor his case. And I don't think we want this case to go in the wrong direction, because the evidence is is too corroded, and they can't tell the things that they need to tell by looking at it. That's a problem. Okay, I want to tell you about the CIA deal, because this was a big deal as far as the videotape is concerned. And on a previous show, we were mentioning a little bit about it, and of course we've talked about it. What happened was, it's the whole terror suspects thing, the interrogation of terror suspects. So a day after the Justice Department announced that a special counsel had actually wrapped up his investigation into the whole thing without bringing criminal charges, then they've decided now, just a day later, that they got to reopen a look into whether the agency, the CIA, their actions constituted an improper destruction of federal records. Yeah, that would be the National Archives and Records Administration. They're going to open it up because they say, we're not going to let this drop. We're not going to let that happen. It was back in 2007 that a top archives person, official, whatever you want to call them, wrote to the CIA asking it to explain the tapes being destructed in light of the Federal Records Act. Everyone knows what that is, right? It says that no federal records can be destroyed. It's that simple. With agencies, without agencies, getting approval from the National Archives to get rid of whatever the material is. So, not to go all legal on you, but the law defines federal records pretty broadly. That's the problem. It includes documentary stuff, physical form or characteristics, regardless of whatever they are. And in this case, that would probably mean videotapes, wouldn't it? Of course it would mean videotapes. And the CIA said that they were unable to respond to that inquiry back in 2008, a couple of years ago, in view of the criminal investigation that was announced at the time by the Attorney General, who was Mukasey then. So now that the criminal deal is over, after all these years, the archives folks are saying, look, it's back on our radar screen. If we don't hear from the CIA with an explanation, we're going to follow up, and we want a justification for why they destroyed the material without getting any kind of approval. Then they're going to determine if they can take it a step further. I think this is never going to drop. That's what I think. I think it's never going to drop. And what happened is they had hundreds of hours of videotape showing interrogations of waterboarding. We know how controversial that was, right? Those so-called high-value detainees, a couple of Al-Qaeda operatives, right? And the CIA said the tapes were destroyed because they were concerned if they were released that the CIA interrogators would be subject to blowback on that, reprisals from that. So now you got the Freedom of Information Act that gets in the middle of this. Remember? Internal emails that were released under the Freedom of Information Act a little bit earlier this year. And in that, they saw someone from the CIA who ordered the destruction, and they expressed serious concerns that if the images were disclosed out of context, they would make the CIA look terrible and it would be devastating. Oh my, oh my. So let me just sum it up. As far as the National Archives is concerned and these interrogation tapes, they wouldn't really have much leverage, you would think, over the CIA. If there's even a violation, it would be bounced back to the Justice Department for maybe civil fines against whoever the people were who destroyed it, but highly unlikely. It makes for an interesting story, though, doesn't it? Harry Rinker is next round the bend.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low, at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, out-of-leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Oh, I'm just wild about every, and every's wild about me. They have the bleasties of the species that fill me with ecstasy. He's sweet like peppermint and beans, and just like honey from the bee. Just wild about Harry, and he just wild about cannot do.
All right, Harry Rinkers being ushered in right now. How exciting. You have a chance to talk to the guru of all things collectible. Don't hold back. If you collect anything, he's the man to talk to him. We're very lucky he is swamped to get him. I actually have a couple of emails for him. People were anxious to talk to Harry. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Harry, good to talk to you again. How you doing?
Well, actually, I'm better. We missed a session last time. I had a case of consolidated bacterial pneumonia.
Oh.
Yeah, I got the famous lecture from the doctor, if you don't take care of yourself, you're likely to die.
Right.
In fact, I got that one twice.
Yourself.
Twice in the same week I got that lecture.
Ooh, that's not good. So now you feel better.
Yeah, I'm up running about 95%. Get real tired at night. Other than that, I'm doing fine.
Yeah,
but I am
good.
Doing fine, and you know, it's kind of a fun time to be in the antiques and collectibles business. Market seems to be coming back slowly but surely, and I think, you know, this is like everything else going on, spotty in the country, but we're seeing some signs that things are maybe better.
Yeah, thank goodness. That's if you're seeing in the collectibles, because before you were talking about how there was kind of a downturn, and now it's really popped
well,
up.
I think the market. Boy, knock on wood, may I not have to take this back, but I think we finally bottomed out again. Now, we've been through this several times in the last few economic downturns where you get to the point where you say, well, things can't get lower. You know, the prices can't get any more reduced. But I think we're there in a lot of categories. I'm hearing from auctioneers and so forth that young people are coming and they're buying again. And while they're not necessarily buying in the traditional antiques and collectibles categories, they are buying stuff, the reuse stuff, the stuff that they can live with every day, the fine furniture like Herodin and Kittinger and Berkey and Gay and others. There seems to be interest in that. Now, part of it is all this is brand name stuff too. Heritage Galleries down in Dallas, Texas, just put on a. Well, not just put on a couple, about 6 months ago, hired a person for brand name product. I mean, today's young collectors are brand name conscious. I mean, well, you see that in what they buy and out there in the countryside and that type of stuff, and so they're looking at it in the used market too. Now, I'm not sure what I would do with 10 Gucci purses, and probably nothing actually, but it's out there, and so it's kind of fun to watch it.
Yeah, no kidding. I got an email here from Bob, who listens to us in Austin on our affiliate there, and Bob said, next time that you have Harry on, Kate, I wanted you to ask him, and I know this is a wide open question, but ask him anyway, is it still worth keeping the old comics that I have, and I have thousands of them?
Well, it depends what time period they're from, of course, Kate. One of the big benefactors in the current thing are the high-grade investment-level comic books. I mean, we now have $100,000 comic books are not uncommon. $50,000 are there. And normally what happened was it used to be the old golden age comic books, the comic books from the late 1930s, early 1940s, and then they had the silver age, the comic books from the 60s. Well, Spider-Man and Justice League and a lot of those are doing very, very well right now. Record prices in the middle five figures and up for volume one, number one of a lot of them. Spider-Man number one has broken $100,000. But this is a very sophisticated market. Comic books have to be graded. I was just doing an appraisal clinic up in Eastern Pennsylvania, last Friday. And a person walked in with a stack of comics and there was a Cisco Kid number six and a Cisco Kid number eight. Now, obviously, what you want is Cisco Kid number one or two, but six and eight aren't bad. And, you know, she's looking at 15, 20 bucks a unit in reasonably good shape. But, you know, going through the pile, there was volume one, number one of Heckle and Jekyll. I don't know if you even remember Heckle and
Jekyll. Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, that's what you're looking for, those type of things. Now, I've got, back in the 80s and 90s, I put together a comic book collection, largely because for my work, about writing about antiques and collectibles. And I've got a lot of all those kind of oddball when they had the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger kind of things, the Kung Fu Gophers and all the rest. So I got a couple volume one number ones. But once you get past 1975 and 1980 into that era of comics and into the more recent ones, so many people have put them away that chances of them having any long-term value are somewhere between slim and none. I mean, the death of Superman. Remember when Superman was killed? Well, I think somebody estimated they saved 7 million copies of that issue are out there in the hands of collectors. Well, there aren't 7 million collectors for Superman. He's a great guy, but come on, not really. And then, of course, they brought it back as the four separate Superman, so everybody was collecting that series. But those series, you can buy near mint stuff for cover price. So the answer is the early comics, the ones from 38 through about 65, 70, are at least desirable as long as you have the important issues. But if you have the more common, ordinary ones, the big interesting news in comics, however, is the fact that some of the Disney stuff, one of the early Disney issues of Uncle Scrooge comic broke the $30,000, $40,000 barrier recently. So, I mean, it's not just the high-end cowboy stuff and the high-end superhero stuff. There seems to be some kind of growing collector interest in some of the very early Disney issues. So it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I said something to you off the air. I wrote you a note that it's crazy what you and I have talked about this before, what constitutes the kind of money that's thrown out there for art. And Andy Warhol the other day went for over $35 million.
Fools and their money. You know, one of the things about living in Brookfield, Connecticut, is we're not too far from P.D. Barnum country up here. He's all over the place. And, you know, in fact, one of the courses I'm teaching this semester, and this has been a wild semester for me because I'm teaching 8 college courses this semester in a moment of insanity, I agreed to this. We've been looking at 100th anniversary of Barnum. I'm not sure quite, maybe his death. It has to be his death, can't be his birth. But I got a couple students in one of the classes I've taken working on a project, and you know, they love this. There's a sucker born every minute, kind of thing. And there is. But, you know, look at what happened with, you know, the James Bond, Astro Martin from, Goldfinger just sold. And it brought $4.4 million.
Wow.
Now the guy bought the car. You ready for this? The guy bought the car for $12,000 from the movie company. This was back when nobody cared about this stuff. And he drove it. He drove it around. He put 30,000 miles on it. And then he garaged it. So when the auction company got it, it wasn't in the world's best of shape. So they actually restored it before they sold it, which was, you know, you put $20,000-$30,000 and you get $4.4 million. You know, it's worth putting the money in and get the car fixed up. But they fixed it up. But the poor guy was disappointed. He was expecting to get $10 million. I'm thinking, you know, you pay $12,000, you put 30,000 miles in the car, and you get $4.4 million. What are you complaining about?
Yeah, no kidding. Isn't that the truth? Absolutely.
Well, the thing is that, you know, people toss these figures around, but in my world, there's one simple truth. Something's worth what it sells for.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever someone's willing to pay for it, right?
Yeah, and I, you know, we have this icon art that's out there. I mean, there've been some record prices set in art recently. In fact, there's been a lot of record prices set in a whole variety of areas. Weapons are another huge one where prices are going through the roof. But they're all speculative bubbles, and I think that's what a lot of people don't understand or realize about this stuff, that, you know, what goes up, as the old phrase goes, must come down eventually.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, if somebody wants to listen to you, of course, you're on the network,
right,
and they can find you easily.
Yeah, What You Got, my show about antiques and collectibles, same kind of shows. Your call-in radio shows on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 Eastern, 7 to 9 Central, 6 to 8 Mountain, 5 to 7 Pacific on GCNLive.com. And like you, Kate, I've got a number of Internet listeners all around the world now, and some of whom call into the show from time to time. And so it's kind of great fun for me. It's fun doing this. I plan to do this. The big news, of course, for me, I mentioned to you earlier today in an email, I'm moving to Grand Rapids.
Woohoo! I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be great.
That's right. I'm buying a snowplow as a second vehicle.
They're going to love you guys, and you're going to love it there. I have a good feeling about this move.
I'm very excited about it. We've lived here in Connecticut now for 4.5 years. But we're looking forward to it. Well, Kate, that music means that we'll do this again in 2 weeks. Talk to you then.
All right. Awesome. Harry, thanks. And remember, anyone who was listening that didn't get a chance to get in, you can always send an email to Harry. It's harrylrinker@aol.com. Send him your item and say you listened to him on America Tonight, and he'll answer it on the air. That's cool. Stay with us. Odds and Ends next.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health. and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCN specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory, no reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver, but don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah,
speaking of judging, I'll let you judge this one. Fair or foul? We've talked about this a bunch on America Tonight, so this isn't new territory. And if you travel at all, you've been through it probably. Have you been through the new pat-downs? Have you had to go through that? And honestly, they really are pat-downs. I've seen it with my own eyes. Pilots don't like this. They're saying, we don't think we should have to go through these body scanners or having, you know, ourselves groped as we get on so many planes each and every day and have to go through airport security. I mean, the pilots really are upset over this. Two major unions say the full body scanners are untested and potentially unsafe because of the radiation that they expose travelers to. And the second is the hand searches. They don't like the hand searches that the TSA are doing at the airport checkpoints. So there's been a lot of scathing memos, a lot, pile of them, about the TSA from the pilots' unions. Thousands of pilots who have to pass through security just like everybody else who boards commercial planes say that they shouldn't have to be submitted to this. That's what the union is saying, that they're worried. They're worried about the health risks to the pilots because of the repeated doses. And under the regulations, the pilots and the passengers, of course, can refuse the body scanner. You can do that when you go to the airport. But then they're going to use their hands to search you. And it includes open hands frisking genital and breast areas. That's what they're doing. That is what they're doing to people that are going through. It's crazy. And, you know, it's just not like a light pat. Remember the old pat-down thing where you could tell the person would have a red face and they'd have to put their arms out and spread their legs? Did you ever see that when you were at the airport, or did it ever happen to you? But now it's worse. It is. It's worse. It's like the first step of when you get arrested, I guess. And you give them all your valuables, and then they get a chance to frisk you. That's really what it is. So this is going to be interesting to watch because the pilots, like American, all the pilots there, 11,000 pilots, got a directive from their union about it. And the union is saying, what they're saying is we shouldn't have to undergo passenger screening and then fly the planes. It's blatantly unacceptable. And clearly what they're going to try to do is say, okay, well then, either let everybody else go through, but if we're cleared and we're pilots, then they're going to try to make themselves the exception. And they're saying, and in the memo saying, that the overreach in searching and frisking pilots and passengers is ridiculous, that it's embarrassingly devoid of common sense, which is dead on right. Dead on right. The U.S. Airways representative, a guy named Mike Cleary, says that this just won't fly. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. In the meantime, the TSA is standing firm. They're saying that it's a counterterrorism agency, that's what they are, whose mission, they're a counterterrorism agency, really, whose mission is to ensure the safety of the traveling public. And to achieve that, they deploy the latest technologies and implements comprehensive procedures that, this is their words, that protect passengers while facilitating travel. This is just, I mean, it is just brutal. For everybody who didn't like profiling, what are you thinking now? What do you think? So here's the thing. I mean, everybody always points to Israel. And I double-checked this. Oh, you know, Israel, the safest when you fly in and out of Israel. And they'll ask you a million questions and everything else. I hate to tell you, they don't grope you in Israel. You might have to take out things from your pockets and do things and answer a lot of questions, but you do not get groped. You know, I have a friend that lives in Israel. Just to double-check, I made sure of this in flying to other cities, to flying from Israel to Europe, to other parts of Europe, you know, from Spain to France to whatever, and then going back to Israel. And the answer is no, they don't do that. So you got these minimum wage employees who are counterterrorism agents. Are you kidding me? You can't even, if you have a cop, they don't do this kind of a search, how far over the line they're going on some of the suspects. So, I mean, give me a break. So now you can be groped in the name of security? This is outrageous. I mean, absolutely outrageous. And I guess I saw a little bit of it, and I've said that. I've mentioned it in some of my travels, but not to this point. And now it's in the last couple of weeks, it's really reached a wild crescendo. And I'm glad that the pilots are speaking up, but let's hope that they don't just separate the pilots. You know, they start a new line. Okay, for airline employees, you can go in this line, and they don't have to go through that, which that could happen. Who's to say? If there's enough threats, if there's enough power in the unions, and they are getting bombarded, and the pilots are freaking out. There was a pilot the other day that refused to do it, refused to, you know, to be frisked. And the more that you see it, I mean, it's screening equipment, but the procedures too. Oh, you have a choice, the lesser of two evils. Which do you want to choose? So I'm just asking you, fair or foul? Would it be fair if the pilots and the flight attendants, because I guess wouldn't the flight attendants want it too? So wait, this is the pecking order. Maybe if you're a pilot and the union screams loudly enough, we're going to let you go through a special line. Then it'll be the flight attendants. And sorry for everybody else, unless you're flying or else unless you're working the airlines, you're going to just have to go through these very, very, very invasive procedures. And how much is this stopping terrorism? How much is this thwarting a possible plot? Well, let's see what the Speaker of the House, let's see what he says about it, because John Boehner, who is the next Speaker of the House, has now said, he's come out and said he had a news conference the other day, and he said he's going to take commercial flights home when he moves up to the speaker ranks. He says, you know, over the last 20 years, I fly back and forth to my district on a commercial plane, and I'm going to continue to do that. Remember, Nancy Pelosi took a lot of heat when they started to realize that she was flying an Air Force jet that could go nonstop back to her district in California. And her predecessor, Dennis Hastert, had also used an Air Force jet as speaker because of, you know, the security concerns right after September 11th on the attacks, you know, the attacks on New York and Washington. So Boehner says that he's going to fly commercially, and that's it, and that they've approved the decision because the House Deputy Sergeant of Arms, you know, basically they have to make sure with the security assessment if they're comfortable with him traveling commercial, it's okay. And I guess because he's done it for so long, they're not concerned. Because remember, he will be a heart's beat away from the presidency. So Boehner decides he's not going to take that same road as Nancy Pelosi. How about that? All right, I'm going to bounce back for a second here because I've gotten a couple of emails on what's going on at the airport. I'm going to bounce back to the story about the pilots are freaking out that they don't like it. They think it's demeaning and it shouldn't happen. And John Nance, forever and ever connected to aviation, as you know, talked about airport security and the pilots and the rebellion against it and the whole idea of the demeaning, how it's demeaning to have to go through it. Here's John Nance.
There are the seeds of potential rebellion in here, and I think TSA, if they are presented with an absolute refusal by the airline pilots in the country to go through this type of scanner, they're going to have to yield. The insulting nature of having the very people who control the airplane subjected to any sort of a search like that is a psychological impact in and of itself. It's demeaning. It's insulting.
I agree, but I think it's demeaning to everybody, and that's the problem. But certainly it's demeaning to the pilots, too. And they know that they're squealing as loud as they can so that they don't have to go through that. And I wonder if it will it spread to everybody else. I don't think so. You know, Janet Napolitano is digging her heels in as Homeland Security Director. And certainly we know who's profiting off of the machines. Michael Chertoff, involved in a company that's making a ton of money from them. And remember, he was the former Homeland Security Director. As I always say on America Tonight, follow the dough. Follow the money. Where the money goes, so goes, I guess in some cases, all sense goes out of the window. But just follow that. And Chertoff, he was in front of Congress and he was testifying. And boy, he testified to help himself, certainly, because now the body scanners, and this was a few years ago, have become a big reality. Done with the testing and on to how many places can we actually get these things in here. And I'll tell you, I think you're going to start to see a lot of problems in these airports. I mean, how many people are just going to lose it? I don't know, but I have a feeling it's really going to turn into a much bigger problem than the TSA could have ever thought of. And the fact that when somebody's being pulled aside and groped, is taken behind a curtain and groped, yeah, this isn't going to fly with a lot of people. And I think men and women across the board, is one thing, the pat downs is another thing, to be as aggressive as they're being now. I'll be curious if eventually they lay off of that or what happens. Coming up next, we're going to check some of those emails. Plus, we got a dungeon moment. Hang with us.
Do you have pain from a soft tissue injury? Would you like to alleviate that pain in 10 minutes? Science has now figured out how to put healing sound frequencies into a kaolin clay and polymer gel. Once applied to the area of pain, frequency signals are transmitted to the area of injury that activates the release of prostaglandin hormones. Your body's own prostaglandin hormones eliminate inflammation and the pain that it is causing. The result is the elimination of pain in 10 minutes for 90% of users. We have thermography pictures to prove its effectiveness. The only alternatives on the market are topical cooling agents that for many are poor performers, often smell bad, may be oily, and do not activate the body's innate response system. If you'd like a superior alternative to alleviating soft tissue trauma pain in as little as 10 minutes, please call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit knockoutpaincream.com. That's knockoutpaincream.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
In 1965, this was the sound. Come here, Sister John. One more time.
Yeah, tonight, thanks for all your support. Appreciate all of the emails. Once again, the box is overflowing. We're going to go to the mail coming up in a few minutes, plus the dungeon. But before we do that, let's go to Dan in Texas. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Kate. It's hunting season here where I live, and it reminded me of a hunt that I went on up in Oregon for mule deer. And so I took a girl with me named Jeannie, and I put her on a Y. That's two trails that form one. And she stayed there on her blind, and I went over to mine. And I just got over there, and all of a sudden I heard kabang, kabang. So I went running back over to her blind, and she had this guy up against a pole, and he says, "Yeah, lady, that's your mule deer. Just let me get my saddle off of him."
But I'm pump. I'm going to give you your rim shot props for that. Lame.
Hey, I got something else for you, too.
What?
A little poem goes, "Those chips will make wide your hips, salty chips that you eat."
You're right. What happens? You gotta run for every chip you eat. You gotta run 2 blocks. That's the way I calculate.
Last but not least, he was talking about procrastinators. I have a small procrastinator prayer. It goes, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I know you'll take me sooner or later, but I pray like me, you're a procrastinator." Bye-bye, baby.
Bravo. That was good. Awesome. I like the levity. He's good. He'll at least, you know, he's going to hit you with one of the stories, and it was the last story. That's a sign of a good speaker when you end on a positive note or end with a funny story. All right, this isn't funny. This is our dungeon moment because I'm a huge baseball fan, and maybe some of you listening like the great game of baseball too. So John Miller, Joe Morgan, if you watch any of the Sunday Night Baseball, 21 seasons. Do you believe it? Time flies, isn't it? They've been together in the booth 21 seasons. two whole decades and plus one. So Joe was a Hall of Fame player who is just, I think, the right combination with John Miller. John Miller is such a knowledgeable baseball analyst, expert, whatever you want to call him. He just has an incredible grasp of the game, and he's a wordsmith. I enjoy them. ESPN just issues a statement saying that we owe them our deepest thanks for an outstanding body of work. Never good when you read something like that, right? You get that memo in your mailbox. The network decided to dump them. So Miller, the play-by-play voice, actually got the Baseball Hall of Fame's 2010 Ford Frick Award. And Morgan, the color partner, of course, was a two-time National League MVP with the Reds. And as the second baseman, he was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1990. So they were unceremoniously dumped from ESPN. And who knows who they're going to replace him with, because, of course, they didn't announce the replacement players. So for that, shame on you, the four biggest letters in sports in Connecticut. We got to put you in the dungeon.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
That's what happens, right? I have to say, ESPN is absolutely the leader in sports, but sometimes they make some dopey decisions. I would have let those two men ride out into the sunset kind of when they wanted to, unless they were just too long in the tooth and they weren't doing as well together as sometimes happens. You know, the great John Madden and his partnership with Pat Summerall, they were football forever and a day. And then eventually Pat Summerall has had enough, and it's time for him not to be there. And, of course, you have Madden, who stays in the booth for a little while longer, and then he leaves the booth, and it seemed okay. It seemed like it was okay because I think it was the right time. Now, those two men may have a different opinion, but that's not what I've heard. And they had great storied careers. And those two, whether, you know, it's Miller and Morgan or Madden or Summerall, I just think sometimes you have to give them their Joe Paterno moment. Let them choose, unless it's just they're just too far in the tank, it's not making sense, they don't know the players, or there's some other kind of problem. Because I can't imagine they were affecting the ratings unless it was positively. Speaking of ratings, here was a question I got from Eric Boo. He said, Kate, you played a little bit of Conan O'Brien and his debut the other day on TBS. I used to think it was so funny when there was the O'Brien-Leno wars and some of the crazy unplugged things that Conan was saying, but in the end he was pretty gracious about the crappy thing that NBC did to him. I'm curious, what were the ratings like? You know such things. Let me know. Okay, so here's the deal. I'm glad that you brought that up so we could have a follow-up to that. The premiere the other day of Conan drew 4.2 million viewers. 3.3 million of them were in the demographic that everybody salivates over, 18 to 49. 3.5 million viewers tuned in to Jay Leno's Tonight Show, with 950,000 in the 18 to 49 demographic that we tell you is the golden demo. As for Letterman, he got 3.4 and 1.4 million in the 18 to 49 category. Now, you know, the ratings for his show will probably drop a little bit in the next couple of weeks, but still, that's a pretty good debut, and I'm sure TBS is just thrilled beyond belief, because that's a high number for them to get. You know, TBS compared to people who have been on the air forever on your standby channels, you know, NBC and CBS, he's got to be psyched about that. And they, like I said, they know it'll drop off. But still, that's a pretty sweet way to usher in a new gig. And, you have to give Conan O'Brien credit, because he saved the jobs of the people around him who picked up their lives, moved from New York and went to Los Angeles. You know, you see the guy that's standing up there doing the jokes and the skits and everything, but it takes a lot of writers behind them, really clever, talented people. And they have lives and wives and children, and they all moved. And then within a year, they're done. So he was able to take them also over to TBS, which I think is most of them anyway, I think, which is pretty nice. Now let's move on to a couple of other quick emails here, too, since we're at it. Let's go to the mailbag. And interesting enough, in the mailbag, besides talking about Conan O'Brien, because I got another email about O'Brien and what did I think of the ratings or what did I think of the show. And I only saw snippets of the show because, of course, we were on the air, but I did see some of the playback for it. All right, here's a question. This one is from Meg, who says, what's going on in Alaska? I heard you mention a couple of nights ago the one Senate seat, which is Alaska, that's still up for grabs, and some of the other things that were happening in the House as there would be recounts and still ballots needed to be counted. What's going on there? Well, they're counting the ballots, the write-in ballots, in Alaska, and it looks like Murkowski is doing better. The write-ins are favoring Murkowski. So after she loses in the, you know, in the primary, now she turns around with the write-in deal, and we'll see. I mean, there's in this smackdown, there's a good chance that she could end up being the senator. However, Joe Miller is suing over voter intent because what they're saying is, when they began counting 92,000 and change in write-in ballots on Wednesday in that Senate race, it might hinge on voters' penmanship and their ability to spell Murkowski. They're spelling it all kinds of different ways. So there was all kinds of variations of the Republican senator's name on the ballot, and that was noted by the people who were counting it immediately. And it was challenged by observers for Joe Miller, who... he's still there. He's the rival in this unsettled race that happened over a week ago. So could misspelled names, bad penmanship, not hanging chads this time, actually hang the election for her and go in the favor of Joe Miller? Ooh, that's uncharted territory, I'd have to say.